here to wrap up KER Politics. We're going to do this with what we feel are two very pertinent and interesting subjects. One has to do with the World Economic Forum, and the other one has to do with, the financial condition of America. You look at the deficit, and all I can say about the deficit here is if the local church on the corner had financial statements similar to those of the United States of America, the preacher in that church would no longer be preaching on Sundays because he wouldn't have the funds to keep the doors open. Jimmy?
Yeah, so the numbers are staggering. So far, for the first 10 months of this fiscal year, remember that runs from October through the end of September, the budget gap was over $1.6 trillion. And that's higher than the $1.375 trillion deficit in all of fiscal 2022, all of last year. And this is according to the monthly Treasury statement. The reason why is because they're spending more, the government is spending more than they expected, and the revenues are lower, which is obviously an indicator of more economic shortfalls. Unbelievable numbers and absolutely unsustainable numbers.
Okay, the other thing we're going to be talking about very briefly is the subject of a daily editorial that we're going to be doing here concerning the World Economic Forum. Going to put that up early afternoon today.
Yeah, I think we'll do a little bit of piece, a little more detail on World Economic Forum and their influence. And of course, you know, it's hard to judge exactly what's happening there with the World Economic Forum and how much influence they have over the rest of the world. But it's growing, and we know that a number of people like Justin Trudeau, people like Merkel in Germany, a lot of global leaders in the world are connected with the World Economic Forum. And we know, we talked previously about this advertising and the amount of revenues and what controls information out there. So this is really important. And one thing that nobody is really talking about is actually what's happening in the U.S. economy. So the 12-month rolling deficit, right, the 12-month rolling deficit is still, now we talked, well, the numbers I just gave you are actually for the first 10 months with $1.6 trillion. We're talking about a $2 trillion 12-month rolling deficit. And we're borrowing $5.3 billion a day. And we know that inflation, this reporting period that we just had this week, no one's really talking about it, but it is up again. When in fact the Biden administration, the White House, have been talking about how they've been reducing inflation. But the consumer price index is up a slightly bit, I think by 0.2 points. And I think the core inflation rate's hovering around 4.7. These are still very high because that's compounded over the last 2.5 years where we saw at some points 9% in higher inflation. So these are very, very significant problems facing the U.S. economy right now. And as we have seen in just the last 2 weeks, a significant rise in energy costs. Once again, you absolutely can guarantee that inflation is going to pop back up for a period of time. And the hilarious thing from my perspective is the Democratic attempt to label the economic, positive economic news as Biden economics, Bidenomics.
Yeah, Bidenomics.
Bidenomics, you're hearing it all the time. And what is hilarious to me is it's somewhat reflective of what was called Reaganomics in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah. Now, why did Democrats themselves start labeling Reaganomics back in the 80s? They were trying to be negative. They were it was trying to undermine Ronald Reagan.
Right.
Trickle-down economics, Reaganomics. These were all issues that they were using. And, of course, over time, in the 40 years since Reagan's role, you know, in basically turning our economy around after Jimmy Carter and, you know, years of negative problems, they're trying to equate Bidenomics with something like Reaganomics. What a dumb move. What a dumb move.
Well, because if I got to interrupt you and just say this. The dumb moves that the liberals are putting out right now are too numerous to talk about in the time we have left.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, we can talk about them all day long.
Yeah.
But what is really interesting to me, though, is, look, we are not doing better. We are, you know, they talk about massive job increases. Well, what they forget to say is that we had a massive job decrease because of the COVID situation that they helped facilitate, if not make. And that created a huge shortage. So we really haven't, the number of jobs that Biden has created in his time in office through the same period is nowhere near what Trump had done.
No.
During his time in office in a similar equivalent period of time. So these, when you look at apples to apples, the prognosis is very bad, and most people understand it because all the polling shows a significant fear of our economic future.
I agree 1,000%. I want to give people, our listeners, I guess I should say, a bit of very friendly advice. The best source of economic numbers that I have found probably in the last year is the Kiplinger newsletter. Kiplinger puts out a newsletter typically on the front page. It comes out of Washington, D.C., and typically on the front page they have prognostications dealing with inflation, dealing with GNP, dealing with GDP, dealing with employment numbers, and these numbers, near as I can tell, are about as close to correct as anything.
Yeah, well, that's good information for people to take a look. I'd recommend looking at that and also taking a look at other options, anything you can. But if you again, because information is being controlled right now, and it's very hard to find accurate information or unfiltered information on the internet because of exactly what we talked about earlier, these organizations that control knowledge and information and advertising dollars and what is allowed to be advertised and what's not. If you put up some sort of leftist offensive articles, you are significantly downgraded in credibility, which means you don't get advertising dollars. So, you know, we don't, and most of these, organizations that try to be honest right now, if they're honest, they're actually highlighting the weaknesses in many things, foreign policy, economy, the border, crime. And, of course, they get downgraded and those companies don't get revenues. And, unfortunately, that controls the market. And that includes Murdoch-owned industries, you know, like Wall Street Journal and New York Post.
Right.
And Fox News.
You bet.
We're living in a dystopian future right now that is controlled by a very small handful of very powerful and financially corrupt individuals that control politicians and control information. And watching the inability of media to actually question some of the unbelievable things that Joe Biden says publicly because they're afraid that they'll lose advertising dollars, and their editors say, no, you can't do it. This is crazy. We're living in a bizarre world right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's more than a little bizarre. It's a lot bizarre. Jimmy, I'm going to let you wrap up the show today. We are down to 1 minute left, almost exactly.
Yeah, so the things that I think that are really, you know, just, of course, we're recording the show on Friday the 11th, and it'll be, you know, broadcast on Saturday night or late Friday night around the country. What we're seeing right now is that Merrick Garland just came out and announced that David Weiss, the prosecutor from Delaware, has now been appointed a special prosecutor to continue with the Hunter Biden investigation. That is a complete cover-up from Merrick Garland because they had restricted David Weiss from actually doing certain things, and we don't know what he's going to do anyway because he's too connected to the Democratic Party.
Right.
But my belief is that this is just a stalling mechanism. We see the judge in the Washington court. She actually allowed Trump to speak on certain levels but couldn't talk about sensitive materials from the grand jury indictment information, even though the grand jury indictment information has been very ugly, in a very ugly manner, been left out, exculpated.
Right. Okay, you guys, unfortunately, I got to cut Jimmy off. There you have it. It's been really fun putting the show together this week and researching it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.